Okay, at this time, I'd like to call up my next panelist, Mr. Gillingham, Mr. Jones, and Mr. McBride. You may wonder about the formality. I'm always very formal when I introduce a person who is capable of indicting me or a client. So I want to always be very deeply respectful. And to that end, I'm equally careful in the announcement to make sure that I get all the titles right. Not so with Mr. McBride or Mr. Jones. Mr. Gillingham is the Assistant U.S. Attorney for the U.S. Attorney's Office of the Eastern District of Texas. He currently serves as the Civil Chief of the Eastern District of Texas. Prior to being promoted to that role, he served as Eastern District of Texas Affirmative Civil Enforcement Coordinator. It's important to point out that he received the Department of Justice Director's Award for Superior Performance as an Assistant U.S. Attorney, Civil. That's a tremendous honor, and he honors us by being on the panel today. Mr. Wilson Jones is the head of the healthcare practice at his firm, Bracewell. He is well known to this group and to this panel, and we thank him for his participation. The same with Scott McBride, also a longtime friend and colleague. We've actually been involved in cases together. This is one of the most anticipated segments of this conference. We dedicated an hour to it. People want to know what's going on out there, but we rely on them to do some horizon scanning for us for next year. We thank you all.
Thank you, Yvonne. We are happy to be here. Scott and I know who the star is. And James, thank you again for joining us. James is a highlight, of course, because he's candid, he's insightful, and we're very happy with his frankness. But we also want to add that he is speaking in his individual capacity. The views he expresses are his own, not the DOJ, not the government, not the Eastern District of Texas. So, James, happy to have you. Scott, of course, as well. So, starting with our first slide, you know, the enforcement environment we have is consistent. You know, we're going to talk about some of the cases, I call it, you know, 1980s fraud, some of the stuff that's not new under the sun that we're still seeing. But there's also some new things as well. So we're going to cover a lot of ground here. We never in our history have gotten to questions, but we hope to be able to answer some. If you if you have something you want to shout out, we're happy to try to address
it. But I do want to say, we put this slide up year after year, but I will tell you, the data analytics is more and more, and especially with the advent of AI, because they can run the data quickly and see data, and so all the investigations are using it, the respondents. So I just think this, even though we've had it up there for many years, it just is becoming more and more an aspect of any sort of enforcement or investigation.
And kind of 2 points before you get going. One, I've got to say this because Jeff used the phrase, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. I had a shirt in middle school that had that with the basketball on there, and I wore it around, and my basketball coach, as he sat me down on the bench, said, your shirt may be true, but you're going to be sitting anyway because you don't have to take it literally. So, but Scott's point on the data analytics, I think one thing that'll be a theme kind of running throughout this from an enforcement perspective is that there's a lot of control that we have as the government, but there's a lot of things that can happen regardless of what we do, especially in the QTAM bar. And what we're seeing is a lot more use of data analytics by relators to bring cases, and then we're put in a position where there's a case filed. It's not merely an investigation that you could talk us out of, you know, just putting down, walking away. There is something there. And so as we'll talk through some of these new kind of trends and things like that, that's one of the issues that I'd stress from our office's perspective is there may be things that we personally or that our office might not pursue, but it doesn't mean that they're going to be necessarily going away or they're not going to be coming.
Okay, but I'm going to ask you this. So what happens, like, so you use data. Sorry, Wilson.
No, we're not even our first.
But this happens, like, people use data and they say, I ran the data and I looked at all the hospital claims, and based on the data, I can tell I got a 98% probability that they're committing fraud. Like, they're using, like, AI and data analytics, and it's just this percentage. It's not actually looking at the claims, it's just saying, hey, we think that the high likelihood of this is that you're committing fraud. So I think those issues come up, and those are things that we fight over as to, you know, well, you got to look at some claims. I mean, you're just telling me by looking at data that it's, you know, it's fraud.
Right. Well, again, like, from our perspective, if there's data that...